Behind the Notes, the official Music Notes podcast. Conversations with professionals throughout the music industry. With your host, Lucas Kaler.
Hey, Jillian.
Hello, Lucas.
Welcome back. It's your second episode.
Yes, second podcast.
We said you were going to be the co-host. Co-hostess?
Yeah, the co-hostess.
I know, yes. That sounds fancy,
very
doesn't it?
Very fancy.
I don't like that.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, did you watch the Oscars last weekend?
I did. I caught a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I caught a little bit of it.
Yeah, I missed it. I was at a Blackhawks game, but I heard about it.
Oh, well, that's fun.
I know. It was super cool. It was a very high-scoring game, actually. It was 7-4, so I got
to
see lots of goals and stand up and cheer and everything. So
if you're going to miss the Oscars for anything...
Right. It would be a Blackhawks game.
At least it was a good scoring Blackhawks.
Well, it made me want to check out like tickets for the Predators here in Nashville. I want to see what the prices are like on those because I think I want to start going to hockey games.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I never knew I was a fan.
Yeah, I've been to one. They're fun.
Yeah.
They are fun.
Yeah. No, it was cool.
I did catch a little bit.
You did. So did you see the Billie Eilish Award?
I did.
I think she got Song of the Year, didn't she?
She did. For What Was I Made For? Yeah.
Oh.
Lest did everyone know, she also won the our award, the Song of the Year.
Oh, for us,
for our Music Notes.
I'm like, what awards? What's the our award?
The Music Notes Award.
Yes. So she was our best selling artist for 2023. Or that song was, we sold the most of that out of anything.
Yeah, outsold everything. Yeah, for 2023. So she's the official Music Notes 2023 Song of the Year award winner.
Oh, that's
pretty
so cool.
And
yeah,
it, I mean, and it won Grammys too.
Sure.
And it's a big song.
Yeah, like, it really is. I think part of it's probably the association with the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
That was huge. I think that won awards at the Oscars too.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of good music in that. And it really, I'm pretty impressed at how well, because she, and I think she wrote that with her brother Phineas, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed with how well they were able to sell that song and how many different platforms.
Yeah, both of
it
them.
It worked on.
Yeah, I read that Phineas had a giant part in that song,
did he?
Too. And you're right. It's probably partially due to its association with the Barbie film. But
right.
It's really cool how it came out of the film, but also kind of hit the ground running as just a commercial song, just aside from the film. So it's well-deserved.
Yeah,
it's really
totally.
Cool.
We should send them something. Unless we already have.
Oh. Maybe we already have sent
them.
What
we send them? I wonder what we sent them.
We did. Yeah, we sent them an award plaque, and we wanted to recognize them for. I know they. I mean, they get Grammys, Oscars,
yeah,
all of
right,
that.
Exactly.
But I mean, it's a big deal to be our number one, selling song for a year. That's really big
because
we have a lot of songs that do really well, especially classics that keep selling over and over again.
Right.
So to kind of outsell those, I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's
that's
an
a good
accomplishment
point.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they really nailed it. They really nailed it with that one.
It was great.
That's cool. I'm going to have to go. I'm sure a lot of it's on YouTube, so I'm going to go watch
some
of it.
Yeah, it's always cool to watch.
Well, just speaking of putting our sheet music on the site, I thought this episode would be a really good one to give people an understanding of how an artist that we work with goes from the inception of their song to actually being able to sell it on our site. I thought that would be a good process to explain to everybody because I mean it's not I think a lot of sites people will just write something out, throw it up there, hope for the best. But Music Notes, we have this whole company that kind of surrounds doing that through the proper chains, making sure the proper permissions are in place, like copyrights, make sure the artists are compensated, the labels are compensated, the publishers are compensated. I thought that this would be a good episode to kind of explain that to people, definitely.
Yeah, explaining the Music Notes specific process, and then also I think through even just explaining the company's process, it'll give some insight to, I mean, if you are wanting to arrange or write your own music and get it down on paper, this is kind of what the avenue would look like to get it up and able to sell digitally with all the correct permissions.
Right. That's such a big part of it too.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when I was writing more music and even looking to publish some stuff, I had no clue where to start with something getting the copyright information proper, because if it's not correct, it's not going to stay up online.
Yeah.
You could put it online, but it's probably not going to last.
It's probably not going to last, and it's definitely not legal.
Right. So. That's the big one. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Music Notes has, Music Notes has deals with all the major publishers.
Mm-hmm.
We work with Universal and Sony and anybody else. without those, I mean, we wouldn't be able to have quite the library that we've got on the site.
Right. And that makes it a really, you know, good avenue for people to sell music through us, because we automatically can assure that that we have these connections. And so like the biggest songs are those guys, Universal, Sony, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can be pretty sure that what you're arranging is like, can actually be sold with the proper rights and everything.
So, right. Right.
Yeah.
So basically just kind of, let's just go through it from the beginning, you know? So, if anybody is writing a song, most often arrangements, I guess I should qualify that. We do primarily arrangements of bigger songs. Either we write them ourselves, the arrangement, or someone writes it and submits it to us. So the submission process, we have a whole team just to take in all the submissions that we get. We call it our PCT team. They're a great team. They do
our
a great job.
Our publications team. You say our publications.
Yeah, it is. They're kind of the first avenue for our entire publications team. So they get it first. They have to process it. They send it to our marketing and development side so we could double check copyrights. That's before we can do anything else. We have to be certain we have the copyrights in place.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing a lot of that. When you get those, what's your process for kind of checking the copyrights?
Yeah, it's basically, we're usually provided the artist of the song, like not even necessarily the writers, but the artist.
Oh, sure, just the performing artist.
Yeah, just the performing artist, yep. And then the name of the song. And then basically it's our job to kind of go on a deep dive to see who the writers are attached and who they're signed with, what publishing company they're signed with. So you can go, there's lots of different avenues we take, but even anybody can go on Spotify or Apple Music. And if you pull up the song credits on a song that's streaming on that platform, you can usually, they have the writers' names listed.
Oh, yeah, under the show credits section. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yep, and so we do that all the time just to find out who were the actual writers, because oftentimes it's not the performer of the song. It's someone else.
Or they're one of many.
Yeah, or they're one of many. I mean, some of the most popular songs, like all the time, I'll be so shocked, and it's kind of fun to discover because you'll know this song super well.
Right.
And then you'll go on and see it was written by, like, there's like 10 people that have writing credits on the song. So then you need to make sure all of their publishing information is accounted for.
Right.
So then we have databases where we can go in and see, okay, which, what publishing company is each writer associated with.
Right. Sure.
And then we have to account for all of those. So when we're creating that little copyright notice, as you know, that we see at the bottom of sheet music, we include all of the publishers that were involved in that piece of music on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, that's important because they all have to get a cut. They all have to get a split. The writers have to get some and the publisher has to get some. Without those entities, I mean, none of this stuff's gonna exist.
Yeah, and so then if sometimes, every once in a while, there's someone that's like just, independently published that we might not have rights to, like Music Notes doesn't have rights to.
Right, for sure.
Because we don't have a partnership there, or it's a new artist, or, there's several reasons. So then we kind of have a backlog of things of like, okay, let's see if we can, reach out and get, an agreement with them, see if they would be interested in, so that we could acquire rights to this song, or sometimes we just flat out don't have rights. So it's definitely a fun scavenger hunt every time a song comes
through. It is
kind of like
a scavenger hunt, isn't it?
Yeah. Because especially too with social media now too, I think there's a lot of songs that have gone viral on TikTok or social media, and it's by artists that don't have any music out. And so it's just their independent publishing.
Right,
and so we see a lot more.
It's just kind of under their name at that point, I think, right?
Exactly, yeah. Like they're not signed to, Universal. That's just under their name. So,
right, sure.
So there's been a lot more of submissions, I think, like that, of seeing new artists. And then, you got to reach out and create that relationship from the ground up.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I was going to ask, so do you ever get a situation where someone wants to submit, maybe somebody wrote a piano arrangement of the Billie Eilish song, for example, but they didn't actually notate it. They just played it by ear. Have you encountered that as an issue? And is there some place that we can send them, maybe find people that can do transcriptions for them?
Well, a lot of The artists that publish sheet music through us, they outsource their transcriptions.
Oh, sure.
So we also...
It makes sense. I mean, if not everybody...
Not everyone's just a transcriber. Just because someone
could
play.
Right, yeah. And it can be hard and time-consuming.
Exactly, you know? Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Even if you can, like, I have thought about that before because I am a very by-ear player. And though I know how to read music and write music, just to take the time so I don't have to write it all out, like, it can be super, nice to have somebody else like just hear what you're playing and transcribe it for you.
Right, sure.
But we work, Music Notes works with the company MSMT.
Yeah.
My sheet music transcriptions.
That one I know.
Yes. Yeah. And so we outsource a lot of our transcriptions from them. So we will get the arrangement, they'll transcribe it onto notation for us to then take.
Yeah, and they're so good at it and so quick. So they're located in Barcelona, I believe.
Yeah, in Spain.
Yeah. Wonderful company. We've worked with them for quite a while.
They're awesome.
I got to hang out with the owner, Oriel, out in California, out in NAMM, and he's just the greatest.
Oh, you saw him at NAMM?
Yeah, we got to hang out a little bit. Yeah, it was super fun.
I got to meet him when they came out here, and they're super nice people.
Yeah,
super
their customer nice service is like unparalleled.
It is really good.
Yeah, if anybody needs transcriptions, call up MSMT. They got you.
And they're really talented. So, people might not know that it's good we're, mentioning this because I didn't know there were, before working here, that there were transcription companies
you could utilize
that as a service is really cool. So
very cool. Okay, so we were talking about when people submit to us and then it goes through our processing team and then it comes to our department in Nashville. We go through, we check our copyrights, we make sure everything's good there. Then it goes to the editors and that's where the magic happens. We have unbelievably talented editors. I used to work as an editor for, I guess it was about 5 years, and the amount of stuff I learned working with the people who do that job was unreal. It was like going to college again. It was really cool. These guys have seen any possible bit of music notation that anybody could do. They know every single type they can do. Piano solos, instrumental solos, vocal stuff, PVGs, singer pros.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask, too. Are there, for different instruments, because we have so many songs, so many arrangements, just for different instrumentation.
Yeah.
Are there certain editors that are specialized in different instruments, or do you all, is it like a thing where everybody knows the notation for as many instruments
Everybody knows a bit of something about all of it. I will say that. Yes, we do have some specialized folks. So we have... have a band and orchestra guy who he does a lot of his own arrangements. Paul Miller, actually, his wife was Ashley. She was on one of the first podcasts. And so again, he could do anything, but he's very, very good with the band and orchestra stuff. We have John, and he is a strings guy. So a lot of he's a cello player by trade, but he knows everything there is to know about strings and string notation, which string notation gets pretty complicated. There's so many different techniques.
So many different techniques.
And he'll tell you all there is to know about it. Joe is our guitar guru. I used to say he was like a war vet that if you're a rookie, you would follow him in any battle because he's seen everything. He's worked for Music Notes for quite a while.
He's seen it all.
He really has. He's brilliant. And then Steven's another guy. Steven is a sax player. He was in Nashville for a long time, I know. And he's a jack of all trades. He's another big transcriber and arranger, actually, for us. He can do it just lickety-split. He's so fast at it. It's insane. And he's also one of our signature artists, although I'm afraid I don't know his signature artist name offhand. Signature score is what it's called. Score. Yep. So check out Steven. That's why we like having Maddie in the room with us.
Yeah.
She keeps us honest. Am I missing anyone? I think those are the guys now. And it's amazing how much, because we don't put one or two things on the site in a week. We put hundreds and hundreds of things on the site in a week.
Yeah.
These guys tear through that stuff. And basically the job for the editors is not to rewrite what's there. It's to take what's been submitted to them and essentially kind of double check it. The term editor, I feel like, always applied very, very well. It's like a writing editor. It's not to say what was submitted was wrong. And I that's another thing I kind of learned about music notation as an editor. It's not necessarily black and white. It's not necessarily this is the one way and there is no other way. A lot of times there's multiple ways to do something and you've got to your role, your job is to find the best way, you know? And so we used to have these crazy long discussions, sometimes over whatever, two bars, three, four bars of music.
Yeah.
And the goal is always to make it as clear as absolutely possible. That's it. You know what I mean? It's never to say something's wrong and this way is right. It's just, it's purely for clarity of the information on the page. And right. So, again, those cats are unbelievably good at that. They've just seen it all. They can do it all. They do it very, very quickly.
Yeah, and I imagine it they take a lot of time, too, to just try to make things uniform across our site, too.
Yeah, well, that was a whole thing. We don't have what you might call a house style. You know what I right. mean? It's not, we're not going to be... because again, I don't believe it's all, there's exactly a right way and a wrong way all the time. No. Some things there are fine. You got a quarter note on beat one, you know, don't cut it into 2/8 notes tied together or something like that. That wouldn't make sense. You know what I mean? But there can be 5 different ways to notate one thing. So mm-hmm. you're looking for, in the instance, what is the best thing. And a lot of times it's based on the context of that surrounds it. So yeah. What happened leading up to this part of the bar that you need to correct? And then what happens afterwards? You know what I mean? That influences your decision on how you're actually going to notate it. It's really fun, but you got to be a geek for it. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, it's just the depth of the well of knowledge you'd right. have to
right.
be able to do that to mm-hmm. edit. Because, yeah, sheet music, there's so many nuances.
So much.
But it's cool that it's not, I mean, it's like creative also. It's not even mm-hmm. just like
yeah.
editing, it's not like editing grammar, I feel like, where it's just very cut and dry. There's just rules and you're just going to make sure everything looks correct. But it's cool that to hear you say that, like, well, sometimes there's, you know, maybe multiple ways to notate mm-hmm. things and you kind of have to infer what the arranger, what you think they were intending for, like the musicality of their right. arrangement, and then right. figure out the best way that you think would be to notate that. That's
right,
cool.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
And having the hive mind thing going on, we used to have tons yeah. of discussions about it, really. Lots yeah. and lots and lots of discussions. The only thing people ever asked me about was like chord names, like naming chords. I was pretty decent at, you know, putting together a group of notes and finding a good way that fit in the context of the chord progression to label that chord.
That's important,
to make
though. So,
it clear.
So would editors then sometimes add chord symbols to
Maybe more adjust chord symbols.
Or adjust chord
Yeah,
symbols,
probably gotcha. Take an existing chord symbol and adjust it, you know, right. Based on triad, seventh chords. That was rarely an issue. But ornaments, extensions, that's where things can get, the waters can get murky. And you might need to be a little more... You think outside the box, but again, your context matters. Like it's imperative. You know what I mean? You have to look at the context that you're in order to label your chord correctly.
Right.
Yeah. Make it fit. Quote unquote diatonically. Oftentimes, particularly if you're ornamenting the chord, you might step outside of the key for a little bit, but it doesn't mean that the chord symbol or the chord in the moment doesn't still serve a function in a specific key.
Right.
You get what I mean? If it's the 5 chord, it's the 5 chord. Now it might be the 5 chord with a bunch of stank on it. You know, that's how I like to say that, where you've dressed it up with all these extras, particularly ornaments that might be out of the key it's in, but it's still functioning as the 5 chord.
Right.
And then that can change based on genre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's we don't have to go totally. We'll have another podcast
no,
talking about that stuff.
No, yeah, you could just go down a rabbit hole.
You really
that.
Can, and I don't mean to I wanted to get into our notation program.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah, sure.
What software do we use?
We use a software that nobody uses except Music Notes. It was invented by the founders of Music Notes, and it's been we have an entire portion of our tech department that's constantly updating it. It's called Muse. Not MuseScore, but Muse itself. And really the only people who know how to use it are the people who work for Music Notes, and particularly the editors. And it's different than like Finale or Sibelius or something like that. You can, what's cool about it is it's almost like a notation program that has the basic stuff, so you can grab a note and move it up and down the staff, something like that. That's basic. Mm-hmm. But you can also actually use computer code to do the same thing.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So, or I some of the editors used that much more than I did for actually notating. But if you were going to notate from scratch, you pretty much need to do it that way. So it's not, you know, like if you think about Finale, you need a quarter note, you grab a quarter note at the top, you go to the line that you want it on, you click it on there. You know what I mean? This doesn't really work that way. But fortunately, with people submitting their pre-written material to us, we could scan it into our system, pop it in Muse. It populates everything as best it can. Scans are always going to be a little wishy-washy. You know what I mean? Sometimes things will get knocked out of place unnecessarily. But 90% of the information is where it's supposed to be. Right. So then you can start using like your coding to do things like put the title block in there, and you can adjust the different fonts for the title block and make sure your subtitles are in the right place, and make sure your like your arranger and composer information is in the right place, make sure your copyright information is in the right place. That's all coded in, you know what I mean? Right. Or at least you have to code where on the page you want it and what kind of fonts you want, things like that.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things about it is there's this thing called the time editor, because what we do, this is kind of another advantage when you get sheet music from Music Notes, it has a playback option. You know what I mean? So there'll be MIDI playback of the sheet music that you're looking at.
Right.
Excuse me. So in order to get that to work correctly, sometimes you have to actually figure out all of the fraction of any given measure that any given note is going to take up, you know, the percentage of that measure, and you have to set it as that. Wow. You know what I mean? So
just program the MIDI.
It keeps the MIDI in time, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. So the MIDI's already programmed. The MIDI's going to be there just based on the notation that is there. It's going to read the notation that's there. But what can happen is if your percentages get out of whack, so say, you know, let's just say we're taking four quarter notes. Each one's got to be 25%, right? Mm-hmm. But one could maybe, based on things around it, maybe there's a dynamic placed on it, because your dynamics get literally attached to the time slice you're working with so that they can play properly. So maybe something got out of whack during the scan and it took your second quarter note in the measure, and instead of being 25% of the measure, it's set for 33% of the measure.
Oh, weird.
You know what I mean? Something like that. Yeah. So then it's off. So then you got to figure that. You got to listen to it. You got to look at it. And then you got to go, well, now which one's got the problem? Oh, this one right here. You grab it. You grab, open up your time editor. You set it for the proper time.
Wow.
That's not a big deal when you're dealing with quarter notes. But like I would deal with these piano solos sometimes. Maybe it was a tuplet of 11. And it was 11 notes within the duration of two quarter notes. You know what I mean? Something like that. Each one of those has to be adjusted properly so that it plays accurately. Yeah, you know what I mean? And you're not missing time in the measure, and you're not adding time to the measure. So it's really cool. That's one of the really cool features of Muse, you know, is you can really, the level of detail we get to assign. So as to have the playback be clear and clean and precise and helpful for the customer. It's pretty cool, you know? So Muse, again, that's a whole nother podcast. We could go on and on and on about what Muse does. I know, seriously. It's very complicated program, and they've been working on it year after year after year since the start of the company. So it does some pretty amazing things.
It's really cool. It's really cool how meticulous we get in the process.
Yeah. Well,
just
it's necessary.
Quality. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really absolutely cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's very cool. So, So those, the editors are absolute wizards with Muse. Nobody knows Muse the way
our
these guys know Muse.
Music wizards.
Right. I guess I should say
music wizards.
Yeah, totally. And I should actually point out our portion of the tech team that works on it. They know it inside and out as well. And they're constantly updating it and making it better and better and more clear. So
it's awesome.
So back to the step that this is in the process of getting people's sheet music on the site. Once we get to the editors, and once they're done working with the file, it actually goes to another editor to get double checked. So you know what I mean? So then they got to do it. It's called proofing. Proofing days. Proofing days could take a long time, depending on what you had to go through.
It's good though that it goes through multiple people.
Right. Exactly. Like, it's gotta.
Because I mean, there's human error. You know, always.
It's inevitable.
And, yeah. So it's cool that's the the process. It's not just one pair of eyes looks at it, puts it on the site.
Right, right, exactly. No, the double check is pretty important.
Yeah.
And again, me personally, that's where I learned the most was when I would do a file, send it to one of these proofers. They'd send it back to me pointing out. Oftentimes, again, it wasn't like this is wrong. It was, okay, yeah, you could probably do it that way. What do you think of doing it this way? This way, maybe more clear, more concise. Mm-hmm. And that was, that really helped open my mind to kind of the art of notation at that point. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It is cool. It is an art. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's like any other language they make, really. There could be.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole nother thing. They have to be fluent with genres, too. The language of genres. You know what I mean? Like, take jazz music just as a generic term. A lot of times there might be things that you're looking at and you're like, well, wait a minute. That's not theoretically correct. What's the problem? I consider that almost like slang. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't going up the street and get no doggone bread from the store. Yeah, something like that. You know? I've been living in the South for a while
Instead
now.
Instead of, I am not going up that road.
Exactly. You still know what I'm talking about, and it's kind of accepted as a way in which people can speak. You know, most people understand what you're talking about, even if it's not the way they might say it. So that's what I think about certain genres of music and different types of music, and it happens in pop music, it happens in jazz, it happens a lot of places. But it's still valid, and so you have to understand that in the moment. Okay, well now, on paper, this is incorrect, but now let's look at the big picture of everything. Oh, no, this is what they meant to do. This is what they want, you know, things like that.
Right, yeah. That's super interesting. Yeah, so then once it's double-checked, now where do we go?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know anymore. Oh, okay, no, it goes to publications. And those are oh man, talk about other people who just know the whole database inside and out. But they're the ones who actually push it to the site. So we do a weekly push based on priority. Sometimes we have some stuff that just needs to get up on the site ASAP, and so we will do a kind of a special push for that. But they take everything. They actually double check composer information and copyright information again, because we couldn't stay open if we weren't doing that. You know what I mean? I actually talked to our CFO about it, and in 25 years, we have paid just under $150 million in just copyright, just to the
in royalties.
Yes, right? Thank you. Yeah. The royalties. Sorry, yeah. I was stuck on the word.
No.
Just in royalties, which is insane. That's so much money. It's a huge number, and it's our biggest expense as a company, but again, it's the cost of doing business. We couldn't do this if we weren't paying that. We wouldn't. Yeah. There's no way we'd still be around. We would be shut down, lickety split.
Yeah.
So that's another part of what the publications team does is to track who's where the splits go. Well, they send that information to our royalties team.
Department.
They're the ones who handle getting that sent to the through the proper chains to the people who need to get paid for the songs that they wrote, of which we're writing arrangements. So the other thing I did want to mention was we have a user-generated platform called Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And that's a place, it's comparable to like social media, where anybody who wants to can start an account and take their arrangements they've written and upload it there. It's not going to go through the hands of our editors, but what it does is it gives them the opportunity to piggyback on our publishing deals that we have and then legally sell their arrangements of different songs on Marketplace. And some do very, very well there. Very, very well.
Yeah, there's a lot of artists on there doing super well.
I know. I feel like there's got to be thousands of arrangements up there at this point. It's only been around for a couple of years now. And it's people have really taken advantage of that. We've gotten some signature artists from there and or signed people who sold really well there. We've taken them and signed them as signature artists, and then their stuff then does go through our editing process. Personally, anybody else who puts it up there, it's just purely what they decide to upload. But again, the nicest part is that they're doing it legally. The people whose arrangements they're writing are getting their adequate cut. There's not a risk of it being taken down for no good reason. You know, if we have the publisher in place, the publishing deal in place, they're good. They just have to upload it and go through that. So Marketplace has been a really, really cool way to honestly get more people involved.
Yeah.
I'm the type, I just want more and more people writing music and publishing it and putting it out
there. Putting it out
there,
yeah, why not?
Yeah, it's so cool. It's so cool, and it really, again, an opportunity such as Marketplace can be pretty hard to find.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It's really unique to Music Notes, and it's really cool that you can, I mean, it's, I think the hardest thing to do probably is to get started as like an arranger. Well, not probably, I know.
Right,
as
one. Sure, sure.
It's hard to get started and find the right avenues to get your stuff out, and that's your dream at the same time. You just want it to be out. You want it to be available. So this is a really cool tool for people to be able to upload their music and it actually get attention and get downloads. And yeah, it's a really cool process and platform that Music Notes has developed. So
yeah, and it could be really a nice nice piece of side money too, honestly.
You know?
It's as a musician, much of what we do for money requires us to be in person, whether it's performing or instructing, something like that. You know, we're not making t-shirts and selling them at a store. You know, we got to be there to make the money. With the Marketplace, it almost kind of is like having a product that can make money while you're at home watching TV, something like that. So
definitely.
Yeah, Marketplace has been a really, really nice ad and a really nice feature. And yeah, lots of people have been taking advantage of it. So
it's been very cool.
Yeah. Well, I hope that this provides our listeners at least a little bit of insight in what's going on at this company. We barely scratched the surface, but yeah, anybody who wants to get their sheet music published, I say start with Marketplace, see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting too to just, I mean, before I started working here, I had no idea that you know, putting sheet music online could warrant an entire company needing to be behind it to make sure it's up properly and that it gets recognized and that people are driven to buy the product and all the things. And so it's a cool company to be a part of, something so like special to creators and helping them out. So
absolutely
for sure.
Well, cool. All right, well, we got to get back to studying copyrights
here. Oh yeah. Better go do that.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks.